Exodus 20, verse 1.
And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Some of us, in a long time, haven't heard those. And some of us may never have heard them read to us in their entirety out of Exodus 20. We get the condensed version out of Leviticus. It's just a few short lines, but that's the extended version and why they are there. I was going to tell you a story, but I don't think I will. Rather, let us turn to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, you spoke the words to Moses a long time ago. You wrote it with your finger on stone. You repeated the process. Heavenly Father, you wanted us to have these. You wanted us to know what your heart was for your people. I ask you then, Lord, as we've gathered here, that your words would come to us. That which you've shown me this past week would become a reality for me and in my life. I thank you for the messenger. I thank you for the message. And I ask then that the message that you have for us this morning would come across, no matter the messenger. Heavenly Father, speak to us now. Teach us. And grant us that we would stand in your presence one day and say, Heavenly Father, I have followed you, and your commandments have been a delight to me. Heavenly Father, let your Holy Spirit be upon us now. Lord Jesus, speak. And into that end, Heavenly Father, I ask that the words in my mouth would be acceptable in thy sight, that the meditations in our hearts and the thoughts in our minds would be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord God, our strength, our rock, and my Redeemer. Amen. I heard a story. Now, this is a different story than the one I was going to tell you. It was a kind of a joke I was going to tell you, but it just doesn't seem to fit in this morning. About this Sunday school teacher. I could give her the name Willie Mae, but that wasn't her name. And she had an object lesson for the children one day. She brought in a pumpkin. And she said, how many in here are pumpkins? No, we're not pumpkins. Are you guys pumpkins? No, they're not pumpkins either. And she said, well, you could have been a pumpkin at one time. As a matter of fact, if you don't know who Jesus is, you're a pumpkin. And they said, well, how is that? Well, see, Jesus takes a pumpkin And he opens it up, opens us up, gets all this gooey mess out of the inside and cleans it up real good, then puts a big smile on our face and lets the light shine through. That's right, we become light bearers once Jesus has turned us from a pumpkin, if you will, into a symbol that is used on Halloween called a jack-o'-lantern. But God has used a pagan symbol to show us a Christian principle. That God wants to clean our inside out and let His light shine through. But His light may be in us a little bit, but there's so much muck in there, and we're not open enough to let His light shine yet. But I promise you, these Ten Commandments are not the end-all of your life with Jesus. They are a basic foundation. They're very much core. If you remember, and I don't know how many folks like United States history, but we had a very stately man. Came in about 1776. You might remember reading about this man. And he said that we need to put those commandments somewhere prominent because they're the core foundation of our nation. You might remember this man. They liked him a lot. As a matter of fact, do you know what they did to this man? Anybody know who the man is? Take out a dollar bill, you'll see his picture. Or a quarter. George Washington. Very, very prominent man in the faith. He said, if we do not keep the commandments faithful in his inauguration address, you can read it online, as a matter of fact. He says, if we do not keep this commandments front and center, our nation will crumble. Did you know that? As a matter of fact, as time went on, they said we need to have what's called separation of church and state so the state does not pervert God's will for the nation. That the church should be supreme over the state. About 100 years ago, someone said, well, that thing isn't working right. The state has no right to tell the church what to do. And so the church has the state, can't tell the state what to do. And somewhere along the line, it got so perverted and outdated and outmoded that the intention of the law and the intention of our Constitution has been perverted. The intention of this country was to be a God-fearing people with the commandments as a central focus and God's Word as principle. But now they said, well, we got to keep separation of church and state. The church does not interfere with government work. And so you got to keep it out of the government. And that's backwards of what our founding fathers wanted. Did you know that? They wanted this country to be based on biblical principles. And they said, if you ever move away from these, our country will be compromised. Goodness gracious. It's happening. It sure is. And now you say, well, what does this have to do with honor your father and your mother and the other commandments? Are they not our founding fathers? Are we not living under their blessing still? The Scripture says that we will be blessed by our fathers and their grandfathers up to thousands of generations, but we will not be blessed for our own behavior, and our children will be under a non-blessed state of living if we do not love God. That's what it says there. It says that God will visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of those, the generation of those that hate Him. Did you know that in this country there are less and less people claiming to be born again Christians, but more and more who believe in God? What do you think of that? We have 90% believe in God, and about 20% say they're Christian, and 50% of that 20%, or 10% of all those who believe in God, say they're born again. We have half the folks who are Christians say they're not born again. Is that crazy? I believe in God, and I'm a Christian, but I'm not born again. In other words, I'm no different than the day I popped out my mama. I'm the same idiot I was then, and I say I belong to God. And nothing ever changed in me. I never had an experience of Calvary or the cross. Our founding fathers had those experiences. They said, this is worth willing to establish a nation on these principles and base our life and risk our life in war that we may worship God and establish this nation on those principles. You know what we fight for now? I hesitate to say it. We don't know. What are we fighting for? Protect another nation so they can have freedom? We're not fighting for the Ten Commandments. We're not fighting for God. We're not honoring our Heavenly Father. Truly, we're not. So what does it mean to honor your father and your mother? Does it mean you have to do whatever they say? If they say jump, do you have to say how high? Is that what that means? Well, let's try it another way. In that culture, and still in that culture, they're a shame-based society. And what that means is, if you are exposing yourself to a possible shameful situation, you'd rather not do that. You'd rather be dead. To honor your mother and your father means, do not bring shame upon them. That you protect their name, even if you don't necessarily protect how you feel about them. But you protect their name. You don't bring shame and dishonor to them, no matter what they do. Don't degrade, don't downplay them. You see, there are folks who are so willing, who don't believe in God, to downgrade God. Even though they have seen Him presented as a Heavenly Father, they still downgrade God. They try to bring shame upon God. I promise you, you cannot shame God. But they try. They try to speak bad things about His Son, Jesus Christ. They try to talk about His people as bad or crazy or misguided. They try to bring shame. But you cannot shame God's people. You know why? Because God's people are protected by their Heavenly Father. We're under His covering. Now, let me share with you what happened and a situation that happened this week that helped me understand what you asked me to speak about. I have a friend who is very much respectful of her father. As a matter of fact, he's a well-known person in certain circles. So is she. And this is what she said to me one day. She said, "My father will never, ever hurt me. And I know this. He never has, he never will, until he dies and leaves me. That's the only time he'll ever hurt me. And he won't have a choice in that one." Now, when she spoke of him with fondness, with respect. I have no clue what the relationship is like. Never spoken to him. I'm sure it's as she said, but I'll never know any different. Why? Because she respects the relationship with her father enough to keep that relationship holy, even if her father does not. And she'll always speak well of him to a stranger. And is very careful if she would speak ill of him to anyone. I know she wouldn't. She never would. But Now you say, well, that's a good thing. Children like that ought to be like that. Well, get this. Not only that, but her respect for her father goes also to her heavenly father. And she said to me, I will by no means put myself in a position to compromise my standing with my heavenly father either. And I said, well, have you ever had problems with that? She said, well, yes, I've had lots of people come up to me and offer me things and such, but never will I and never have I said yes to them. Never will I. And I said, how do you have this strength? She said, because I love my father. And I said, well, you seem to have a good dad. She says, no, my heavenly father. My heavenly father loves me, cares for me, will never hurt me, only has the best for me, and I'm waiting on his time for what he wants for me. A rare soul in this land, waiting for marriage before she has any intimacy. Only been on 6 dates in her life. Now you say, well, that's okay. Most kids do that. She's not a kid. She's in her 30s. Very, very wonderful person. But she says, I'm waiting on my father. And I will by no means open a door that he doesn't. That's integrity. And when you have a father or a mother that cares for you and loves you, you have the courage to say, I can take a risk or I can stand firm because I know I have a safe place to go to. Now you look at children like little Jesse whose parents are never there. And if that child were to grow up in the wrong home, I hate to say her natural parents are in the wrong home, but if she grew up in that home, she would never know safety. She would never feel inside a security. And if our parents were not perfect, and I've never seen a perfect parent, then we have some areas of our life where we don't necessarily feel grounded. We're always trying to find a way to make sense out of things. And what it does is it causes us to challenge our very core foundation as valuable people. Am I valuable? Do you love me no matter what? And a lot of parents make the message to their family, when you're bad, I don't want to deal with you. I shared a prayer request for a young lady and working on her third marriage. Her husband said to her, you know, I'm upset with you. And she says, well, do you even love me? And he said, when you act like that, I don't love you. What he really said was, I don't love you. Because love is not conditional. And if all of a sudden one day, Genevieve, you did something wrong and Al said, well, when you do that, I don't love you. But as long as you don't do that, I love you. What are you going to think? Well, I'm never doing that again because I'm afraid I'm going to lose his love. Well, then I can't be me. Then I can't have freedom to risk and change and see who I am and have the ability to mature. How am I going to mature if I don't have freedom to fail, to make mistakes? I got to have a place where I feel safe enough to risk. Now, if your father or your mother loves you and you're established, then you're like my friend who can say, I know who I am, I don't vacillate, I have a safe place with my earthly father, I don't need a man to take care of me, I want my heavenly father proud of me, and I'll do nothing to jeopardize my relationship with anybody. That takes some inner stamina and strength. It really does. Now, the question is, and I think this is what's being asked, is what about when my parents aren't so wonderful and they tell me I have to do this or I have to do that? The question is, have you claimed your new Father in heaven? Is He now your Father? Is He now the one who runs your life? If so, then you can say to your earthly parents, thank you for raising me, bringing me into the world. I will honor you. I will never bring disgrace to your name. I will protect that relationship, but I listen to my Heavenly Father over you. If He tells me, I'll do it. And if there's a disagreement, I choose God. Now, your parents should know you well enough not to lead you with bad advice. Should. And usually you can talk about things with them, but not always. Did you know that there are some folks in this room who don't have parents, but they do? Did you know that? There's still some folks in the back of your head going, no, you can't eat that. No, you need to go to bed. That voice is still in your head and it's your parents' voice. It's still running. They've been gone a long time, some of us, and they're still in there. You know how you know? Because you tell other people what they tell you. That voice is still living inside you. You know, I told myself, I'd never tell my kids, I'll give you something to cry about. I heard that so much growing up. You know what? I still hear it, but I never say it. Till just now. I don't say that. I didn't think that was right. Because when he'd say that, I was really crying over something that bothered me. And I needed someone to say, where do you hurt? So that's what I say. Where do you hurt? What's wrong? Are you okay? I check the need, you know? But what I'm saying is, we still get run by our parents and their ways even after they're gone. Even after we're grown. And sometimes we have to step back and say, this is who I am now. My parents have taught me this. Now I need to know what God's teaching me. Because He's my true Father. And this is my true family. You know how good it is for some people to come into the kingdom of God and finally get a family that actually likes them? It's pretty tough for some people. They go, I can't believe these people like me. But they seem to. Welcome to God's family. I'm not saying don't do what your parents say or said. What I'm saying is that your Heavenly Father has first say in your life. How do you honor your father and mother? Quite simple. You learn who they are. You learn what part of them is not you. And you respect the relationship. Now that almost sounds like self-help 101 to me. But there's a difference. You cannot break the bondage with your earthly parents until you have entered in a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. You have to be a son of God before you can break from being a child of your parents. Why do I say that? Read that verse again that says, you're under the curse of your parents until you love God. Yep. That's what it says. I can read it to you if you want me to. I read it. I can read it again. I don't think you need that, though. Oh, I don't do it. I don't need to read it again. You know it's there. It says that God has brought us out of the house of bondage in verse 2. Remember, out of bondage. We have bondage to parental roles that have influenced us. God breaks those, but we still maintain ourselves in that relationship. There is a time, and I promise you this, if you're not allowed to be a child of God in the presence of your family, you have to break that family away. Sometimes people have had to do that. That's the message this morning. I hope it helps bring something to think about. And I ask that as we do ponder these things, that we ask God to bless us and strengthen us and continue to secure us as His children. Like the song I wrote, there is a Father who loves you. There is a Father who is faithful and true. I know He loves you. I know He loves me. That's how I know He loves you. And if you need that kind of a father, and you've never had that kind of relationship with your family, then by all means, get in Jesus' family. Don't wait for that. Don't wait for someone to finally believe in you or be proud of you. Don't keep running up those trees. That fox won't hunt? No, that dog won't hunt. That won't work. You cannot climb up a tree and say, I need my parents' approval, I need their love, I need all this, after you've matured. Your Heavenly Father has all that you need of that and more. And He will heal you of those feelings of not having what you need from your parents. I'm a witness. He healed me from a lot of that mess.